Scott, we're going to go ahead and run with the Baja now. So we'll start. Okay. Good. Good afternoon. I'm Amy Wirth, and I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Bay Area Headquarters Authority for Wednesday, November 19th, 2014. I'd like to first turn to our secretary and ask for the roll call, please.
Good afternoon. Authority Chair Reinworth?
Here.
Authority Vice Chair Cortese?
Here.
Commissioner Bates? Absent. Commissioner Dodd? Absent. Commissioner Tissier?
Here.
Commissioner Wiener?
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Now I'd like to invite everyone to join together in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now may I turn back to the secretary, please, for the compensation announcement.
Certainly. In accordance with state law, I am making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount.
Thank you very much. I'd now like to announce that this meeting, as are all of our meetings, is broadcast on the MTC website, and invite all the speakers to please speak clearly into the microphone so we can record your comments. We look forward to having comments from the public on any items before this authority and all of our meetings, and if you'd like to make a comment, please get a blue card that's over on the table by the window and hand it to the secretary, and then I will call on you at the appropriate time. Also, we have materials for all the items that are for our meeting that, again, are on that same table as well as on our website. So first of all, I'd like to now move on to the consent calendar. May I please have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Next, item five, we have a report on 375 Beale Street status report for November 2014. I'd like to turn to our staff members, Terry Green and Stephen Wolf, for that item, please. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Stephen Wolf, Baja staff. I'll go through a few bullets on the progress of the project and then turn over to Terry. In terms of the work that we're doing on site, the most exciting work that is in place to date is that we've started putting in the atrium glass. We'll have a few pictures for you in another presentation to show you what that looks like. The hanging stairs in the atrium are now in place. They extend from 8 to 6 and are suspended from the roof of the building. We are installing drywall on the offices on level 6. And boardroom on level 1, we've started to frame that out with the location, the dais, and the tiered seating. There's a lot of work taking place, and we'll have a few pictures, as I mentioned, in another presentation. We continue to work with the Government Services Administration and the Drug Enforcement Administration on their DEA's relocation from the level 8 of our building. In our last meeting with them, they have said that all staff would be moved out by February 1st of the next year, and we're targeting a March 1st, 2015 turnover of that space so that we can continue our construction currently impacted by their presence. We've seen their site several months ago, and the activities that they're taking place in Pleasanton suggest that they are sort of spiraling into a final completion date.
Terry Green, Director of Baja. Just wanted to let you know that we continue to work with ABAG and the Air District and MTC as well on moving into the building and the business operations and the technology to support the new location. A lot of the work has been focused on our technical design for the network, and we've made some decisions to move towards a more decentralized network system, but also make sure that the agencies can still communicate with each other for telephone, email, etc. And so a lot of work is taking place there on the technology side. In terms of furniture, we're moving ahead with more design specifications for furniture within the building, and we're working with Tom Elliott and Fish as well as our furniture manufacturer to finalize the requirements for not only the agency spaces but also where staff is going to be sitting and what the furniture is going to be. And so that process is moving forward as well. We continue to work with Cushman Wakefield on leasing opportunities for the building in the non-agency spaces, primarily for levels 2 through 5 for commercial as well as retail tenants. And then finally, I think we reported on this once before, but we have been in discussions with BCDC about preparing a report to the state legislature with options and a timeline for a possible relocation to 375 Beale Street. And so that's a bit of good news that the governor is, you know, will be considering it. And so what we're doing is working with BCDC, and we plan to hold back a portion of the fifth floor for BCDC in case they really do come and not market that to tenants. And with that, that will conclude my report, and Stephen and I are available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for your report. Are there any questions on the schedule and activities? Yes. Okay. Mayor Kwan?
Thank you. So what is your date now for us all to move in?
The construction schedule has the move-in by December of 2015 for the agencies on level 6 to 8.
I'm sorry, December of?
2015.
15. So about a year from now?
Correct.
And the costs are, this actually came up last night because we were finishing the Lake Merritt plan, and I guess there are some discussions as to who will buy this property. Do you have any information on that?
Commissioner Steve Heminger, Executive Director, as I think you know, we have a condominium arrangement here where MTC, ABAG, and BART are the co-owners of this building. And that arrangement provides that those partners, if someone is leaving, the remaining one has the first right of refusal. So we have had some discussions with BART. I think they are interested. And we are, I think, far enough along in the process that we may be coming back to both boards in closed session fairly soon to talk about parameters and price.
So on Oakland's behalf, the sooner probably that is clear, the better it will be for development around this area in general. So that would be the request, because it is affecting our local economy. So if we can plan for the space, that would help. The last question I have is, so we're increasing the budget again. So how much more than what we originally projected is this move going to be?
Commissioner, if you wouldn't mind, I think Andy has the next presentation.
Okay,
where he's going to go into that.
He'll cover that.
Verse,
okay, so thank you very much. And then I also just wanted to know about how the retrofit in the new building is going. Thank you.
So do you want to talk about the retrofit progress?
Certainly. So the seismic retrofit strengthens the exterior of the building, and we thicken the concrete walls all around the four sides of the box. And to date, we have done all the work up to level 6. Levels 7 and 8 are impacted by the existing tenant on level 8. So we have a lot of the work, you know, reinforcement in place where we can put it. We can't put reinforcement in the labs, in the existing lab. So we're waiting for the DEA to move out to complete the 7th and 8th floors.
I mean, as we've done it, have we found that we can increase the level of retrofit than what we originally planned?
We have a life safety retrofit. And in the spectrum of how you do these retrofits, you can have life safety, you can have immediate occupancy. And so we actually fall in between there, but we're not high enough that we could be immediate occupancy, and we haven't set up our building systems to allow for that. However, we are quite confident that we are above the life safety limit.
I guess what we were hoping is that when you did the retrofit, that it would be reusable within a reasonable period of time.
Correct. It will depend on the magnitude of the earthquake that hits. For a smaller earthquake, we think that the building will be able to stay in operation.
And a 6 or a 7?
I can ask our structural engineers that question. I don't know the answer. Every earthquake is different, and how it strikes is...
I haven't raised this since I've been on the board for a long time, but we had an opportunity possibly to do a new building that would be seismically safe, but we were hoping at least that with the move to San Francisco that we'd be able to get the building to that next level so it could be reused. So that's why I'm asking.
Oh, fair enough. Commissioner, to reassure you that the building will have the same seismic retrofit as we put in place at the Metro Center, and it will meet the standard of new buildings that are constructed. Certainly we wanted to make sure that that was the case.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? I see no speaker card. This is an information item, so now we will move on to agenda item 6, which is resolution number 13 revised, 375 Beale Street revised project budget and funding plan. And this resolution number 13 revised would authorize a revised project budget and funding plan subject to approval by the Bay Area Toll Authority of an additional $33 million contribution to the authority, which would increase the project funding plan from $223 million to $256 million for the purchase, renovation, and occupation of 375 Beale. So I would now like to turn to our Deputy Executive Director, Andy Vermeer, who will present this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Worth. Andrew Vermeer, Deputy Executive Director, MTC. I'll tell you, it's pretty frustrating to have to be talking about a project that, as Stephen mentioned, is actually going very well, but for the fact that we can't work around the tenant. And so this is somewhat unusual in that respect. But I'm here to present the request to revise the budget for the 375 Beale headquarters project. The recommendation also asks for an additional allotment of non-bridge toll funds from BATA that are available due to the savings from the early retirement of the SPAN's financing. And as a reminder, we asked you in January 2003 to adjust the budget once before. This covered the cost to include all the design changes that we made from the conceptual plan to the finish, as well as incorporating some additional space that the Air District had asked for. It also included a significant change in seismic modifications that Stephen had discussed, and it considered a delay in the DEA moving out of the building to April 2014. And so this request deals with really an additional 11-month delay beyond what the assumptions were in the January 13th assessment. This request is really broken down into two main components. And I refer to Table 1 on page 2 in the memo, and this is a snapshot of that. And It really ties in Category A to the original sin of buying the building without being able to get rid of the DEA and starting the work without maybe thinking about it differently and waiting until they moved out and get a better run on it. But that's what we did. And Category A1 deals with the 11-month delay, and it's broken down primarily in the cost associated with doing work and staying out there longer. So it's the cost for a contractor to be out there. It's the cost to provide insurance for a longer period of time. And we have been doing quite a bit of workarounds that hopefully relieve some of the risk for when the DEA actually does move out of the building. And I'll talk a little bit more about those as we move into it. So actually, Stephen, why don't you let me walk through B real quick. The category B really deals with the fact that we have a building that we need to pay for tenant improvements and deal with potential expansions as we anticipated for this agency and others. And the categories here are really showing some of those improvements that we're walking through. So in the top part, as you recall, we had asked Baja to move forward with some of the warm and cold shell improvements that are visible in the atrium. And we got the approval to do that, but we essentially borrowed money from the available project budget, and now we're backfilling that in under this request. We are also recommending that we develop to warm shell the inside of all the floors 2 to 5 that are not agency, all agency anticipated locations. The advice is coming from Cushman Wakefield, our broker, because the place will show better. If you recall, last month when we brought forward our first tenant, the tenant improvement line was included in that as front-loaded as a Baja expense. This is more of the same that we would recoup, and those numbers would be smaller when we bring tenants forward to finish out just the remainder of the office work that's required. The next line, B2, sort of deals with our agreement with the various agencies. And so we are working with the Air District and ABAG to try to figure out how to work collaboratively, as the purpose of the building has always been. And so by the contract that we have set up with those agencies, we front all of the expenses of getting into the building, including the discussions that we have here. And so the first line is the work that we have done with Accenture to try to take a look at the various IT components of the building, as well as the shared services to run the building. We are also going to be asking to expand into the fifth floor some MTC space. We've grown about 30 to 35 people since the building project started, and so our first move is actually anticipated to be about the same time in terms of expansion as when we move in. The next line has to do with the assumption that both the Air District and MTC had, is that we would not be filling out all the spaces and fully furnishing them. That event is not true in either case, so both the Air District and MTC would like to build out and furnish all the locations in the building. The revision to the IT network is really centered around the fact that while we did work and try to figure out how to build a joint network, it was clear that the Air District was not comfortable with that solution. So we've anticipated that it will be some changes. We have not expended much against that $1 million line item, but we do anticipate that there will be some additional costs that will then be reimbursed by the various agencies to basically change direction, because our contract plans had some assumptions for network, and we did some design work around that state. The rest of those items are minor. If I could move on to B3. B3 deals with the first item, utility undergrounding, which is exactly the same issue that we had with the atrium build-out. Is we got Baja approval to do the work. That work is underway, and we were able to use sort of unencumbered project money, but this brings it into the actual budget. The last item is the Rincon Place landscape. As you recall, there's about a 50-foot easement between our building and the towers that are being built, and the idea of this would be to improve that and make a very nice public space that is really a walk-through path in front of the building between the towers and our structure. So when you total it all up, you have the two categories, the categories associated with replenishing the contingency and dealing with the DEA delay, and then the second, which is work that's beyond the base building, which adds up to the total ask of about $33 million. The category A does reflect, though, the fact that we are assuming that the DEA, in a worst-case scenario, won't be out until their lease is up, which is in end of June 2015. So some of that project contingency, if we're successful at keeping them on the schedule that they are now working towards, would not be needed. But we, I think, have learned a pretty good practice in our projects not to make those kinds of assumptions. And so we're sort of moving back from that. If we can move into the other slides, Stephen, I'd like to try to put a couple pictures together here that give you a better indication of the impacts that we have to deal with because of their location. So what you see in blue is the footprint of the Drug Enforcement Agency lab. So their blue and red are their offices and their laboratories. They take up a good portion of that eighth floor. The retrofit that Stephen mentioned actually goes through both the seventh and eighth floors because we tie the two floors together. So we can't finish that entire area on 7 and 8 that is delineated with the yellow dotted line around the perimeter of the building. The other work that really can't be completed is all of the life safety work and the air conditioning and heating systems, and that's what's shown in yellow, that actually go up into their floor. We can't finish the elevator work until they're out of the way. And the other problem that we've been sort of having to work around, and we've talked about this, it's not a new one, is we need to keep them in life safety while they're there, whereas if the building was vacated, we wouldn't have to have that same level of service. So we've had to work around their life safety requirements for fire and egress, and that's required us really to have two different types of systems and has made it very difficult for us to tie in the final electrical upgrades and that mechanical work. This slide here shows the atrium, and again, it's really just showing what you see at the top is what will eventually be the skylight that will go out into the air and give you the light into the atrium. But in the upper portion on the left side, you see the walls that are up against the atrium floor, and those are really the impacts of the lab. So that's the back end of the lab. We can't finish anything in that area until they're actually out of the way. Now, we're going as close as we can to it. As Stephen mentioned, we're doing as much of the rebar work as we can. We're tying out all the stubbing, all of the fire sprinklers, et cetera, out as far as they can go, but we just can't complete it until they're out of the way and we can demolish their portion of the facility. Looking across the atrium, though, you really are starting to see some of the progress we're making. So this is what the atrium framing will look like. It will be glassed in the inside. And so we are starting to finally look like a building that can be occupied. And so that's, I think, one of the more exciting pictures that we have, followed by, I think, the next one, which shows the stairs that Stephen was talking about. The stairs on the left side are the ones that connect really the three agency floors, and they go out into the atrium and are suspended into the atrium. So they're in place, and we're seeing good progress around it. But then again, to the right of it, you can see where we bump up against where the DEA lab is up on the top. The picture on the right is to actually show some of the progress on the ground floor where we're laying the floor for the boardroom. And so that's what you see in the foreground of the right picture. That's actually the framing and flooring around where the dais will go for the board. And in the background, what you see is the electrical system associated with the DEA, and we can't take that out and finish the work on the floor until we get them out of the building. So those kinds of things really have to wait until they're gone. If I could talk a minute about what our suggestion is on the fifth floor. So what we are proposing in this budget amendment is to, as I mentioned, do all of the advanced mechanical and electrical work for all the floors. So the entire floor would be built out for mechanical, electrical, bathrooms, etc. We have a need to expand about 15 to 20 spaces, both offices and workstations, and that's what we show in the bottom part of the picture in solid green. The idea would be that we would build out completely some growth room for our additional staff. What you see in the hatched area is area that doesn't have to be built out beyond just the mechanical work, but would save some space for future growth down the road. And as Terry mentioned, we have talked to BCDC, and while we can't and won't invest in anything beyond the mechanical work, we are sort of keeping the lights on in the area that is shown in yellow, and at least through the end of this fiscal year, giving them a chance to figure out if they will have an opportunity to move in. If they do, then it's likely they would take that contiguous space adjacent to our area around the atrium. If they choose not to move in, then that would be available space to rent out to another public tenant. We also included an update to the appraisals. You've gotten a few appraisals over time. What we have here on the left is the original appraisal in 2011 and then the new appraisal that we just received in 2014. The reason for the two different types of market value, as is, sort of reflects the value of the building if you didn't do anything to it. The stabilized represents what the building is worth when it's fully functional. And so when we bought the building, we were more in the as-is category. We're now moving more into the stabilized category. But I think what you'll see in either case that the building is increasing its value, and it does appear to be doing what we were hoping and what we expected in the market that it's in. I want to finish with this slide that just sort of points to the changes in the budget that we have coming forward over the sort of three timelines that we have: the original budget in 2011, the adjustment that we made in 2013, and then where we are today. And it's really to emphasize that we are trending well in the renovation. What we're really facing is additional cost to work around and to deal with the DEA still being in place. And then the remainder of the additional budget request comes from building beyond sort of the base building that was presented in September 11. We also highlight in the funding plan that is in your packet that there are several fund sources that haven't materialized that we did assume in the original budget. So, for instance, the value of the building we now believe won't bring what we exactly expected, so we have about a $4 million shortfall between the reserves in this building and the overall value of it at our current estimate. We also assume that we would get several million dollars from the FEMA program that has not materialized. And so part of the overall contribution increase is really coming to the fact that we aren't realizing some of the reimbursements that we did expect. We do think in the final end game, though, that there is some potential for not using most of the contingency work and some of the other reimbursements that will come back. We're very confident they will come back when we do move into the new building and the Air District is then required to pay sort of that front-end money. And if we are successful and continue to trend with not having additional building work, then there are some available contingencies that the contractor shares with us at the end of the day. And in terms of trends, those are looking good right now, and we'll certainly keep an eye on it. One thing that we would like to do in the future is make sure that we bring forward some of those trends so that we can give you a better idea over time how we're doing against some of those assumptions and project contingencies. My assumption is it's probably a quarterly effort is enough because things don't change that greatly, but we do want to do a better job of sort of tracking how that risk management and contingency use is looking based on the way the building is moving forward. So that's the end of my presentation, and we are recommending approval of Resolution 13 revised and the revised project budget and funding plan from $223 to $256 million for the renovation of 375 Beale, subject to the BATA approval of BATA Resolution 113 revised, which will happen after this meeting. And I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Great, Andy. Thank you very much for that report. And first of all, I'll turn to the commissioners. If you have any questions, Commissioner Brzezinski.
Thanks, Andy. Very good report. A question. Given the DEA's 11 mil and change overage in their delay, are they on the hook for any of that? Or is this? Do they get to skate?
Commissioner, the simple answer is no, they aren't. When we signed up for the building, they had a lease that took them through July 2015. We did start working with them in December 2011, and they agreed to move out on a schedule that was supposed to be that April 14. So while we don't have any contractual arrangement, we did have an agreement from them that was the schedule they're going to work towards, and they have not been successful at that.
Given the fact that they've not been successful, do we have any intention or is there any opportunity for us to move to negotiate some of that return? Because I know that it's a fairly large chunk of change and it's causing us a good deal of delay in our ability to even move into the project at an appropriate time. And could you comment to that for us?
I don't believe we have any opportunity to recoup it. I will say that we have continued to get their full rent through the course of them being here, which has been at least a small addition to the operating budget.
Okay. Commissioner, if I could supplement the answer, because it's a very good question. And look, I think the major mistake we made, not you, but me and the staff, is in our dealings with DEA. I think the first mistake was in trying not to get them removed from the building as a condition of buying it. I'm not sure we could have swung that because they had a legitimate lease with the prior owner that we had to honor. But we didn't explore that, and I think we should have. I think the second mistake, frankly, was starting the renovation with them in the building, because that made them the critical path. And allowing an independent agency to be your critical path is a precarious place to be, as we've found out. And I think the third mistake, just to compound the issue, is the fact that we believe their original estimate. And I don't think we should have. I think we should have been far more skeptical of it. We have learned our lessons, if that's any comfort, because I think now we are assuming a one-month delay from what they are telling us, and we are, as a precaution, asking you to approve a larger contingency in case they're there through their whole lease term. But look, it's conceivable we have to evict them from the building. I certainly hope it doesn't come to that. And they do appear now to be on track with the facility they're building in the East Bay to be able to occupy it in the period they say they will. But I think that was the sequence of events really that led us to the position that we're in, where we don't have really any leverage on them, and it's all the other way around.
So, Commissioner Cortese, and then
Just a kind of a follow-up question on that, and I realize at some point I'm not asking for the kind of specifics and negotiation that you'd want to keep in closed sessions, so they're not listening to us talk about what we might offer or not offer. But with the additional contingency and the concerns that, I mean, it's at least an outside chance that it could end up costing more, Have they been approached, or could we approach them in terms of just a lump sum payment to get out? I think that was part of the original discussion once upon a time, and I'm just wondering, I get it that they need to wait to move to another centralized location, but, and I realize they're not a private entity that may be as profit-oriented as somebody who would, you know, bite the bullet, decentralize their staff temporarily to pick up, you know, a few million bucks, but I don't know if there's anybody we could talk to there that would at least feel that's a fair quid pro quo for them to undergo the upset of having to put their staff in temporary locations for a while so they can get out of our way.
Commissioner, maybe two answers to that. The first is, you may not remember, but you did authorize us actually to give them some money to offer an incentive to their contractor to build their facility faster. And ultimately, they couldn't figure out a way to take it from us. So I'm afraid, look, this is your federal government in action. I'm afraid that's just where we were on that. We also had specific conversations with them about relocating them out of the building, relocating them within the building. We tried everything we could think of, and I'm afraid I'm back to the answer to Commissioner Brzezinski. You know, as Andy called it, the original sin was not getting them out of there in the first place and beginning the renovation with them in there. Now, that being said, if we had deferred the renovation entirely until they left, we would be paying more for the renovation than we originally thought, because it would be several years later. So it's not as if we could have avoided all of this cost creep by refraining from doing the renovation at all. But I don't think there's any question that the renovation we're doing is very unusual. And, you know, our marker, unfortunately, is right across the street from us, because the folks building those Lumina towers are going to beat us to the finish line, even though they started well after we did. And that's because they didn't have a tenant in their construction site.
Thank you. Mr. Kwan, and then Commissioner Hegarty.
So now, if I understand this correctly, we're about $66 million above our original projection. That's about 40%. Is that right?
Commissioner, the original assumption, that's what I was trying to show in the last slide, assumed several different things. So we are definitely over what we anticipated, but we did not budget for nor anticipate building out tenant improvements that we are asking for today, as well as some of the additional work that is being asked for by the various agencies. And also the two items at the bottom that were related to the undergrounding and the Rincon Place development. Those were new items that we were not originally planning on doing in the original budget.
No, I get that. I'm just trying to get net sum how much over we are. And the date of the end of 15, I originally understood that thought we'd be in about 2 years.
That's correct. It's about a
And now it's 4 years?
No, it's about a two, well, it's a two-year delay, yes.
It's a two-year delay. Okay. So I have to say this. So, because the alternative we were looking at in Oakland would have been less than this amount and would have been a new building. So it is what it is, but it is the financial creep of restoring an old building, and it will not be at the highest earthquake standard. So... we are committed to doing this, but I do want to note that this is significantly more, because the original reason for not looking at anything else was because we had to be in 2 years and we won't be in 4 years, and now this is going to be $66 million more than what people were told, and we had an opportunity to build a new building in Oakland for about $200 million. So that's where we're at.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Hagerty?
You know, Commissioner, if I could just make it clear, because Stephen said one thing that I think is important. New building standards are what we're designing to. Very, very few buildings are designed to operational, new buildings or otherwise. Also, the building that was discussed quite a bit, which wasn't one of the buildings we had considered in the original assumption, actually had a significant retrofit of the old Keyst building that was extremely complicated. In fact, one of the contractor's original plans for marketing it was they called it a self-anchored suspension. It was basically a frame inside the building that the old Keystone building would be hung against. So there, we would have had complications there, too, if that was the spot.
Okay. Thank you very much. Commissioner Hagerty?
Yeah, I was just wondering if is the hang-up because they can't get into their building in Pleasanton?
The hang-up, Commissioner, is they got started too late. I'm not sure they're taking all that long in building what they're building. You know, our personal opinions is they're overbuilding what they're building. And, you know, we had offered them, back to Commissioner Cortez's question, a series of locations where there were existing laboratory facilities that we thought they could modify relatively quickly. Instead, what they're doing out in Pleasanton is they're starting from scratch. So I think it's a combination of not only us having, as I recall, about a year where we could really not engage their attention at all to the fact that we had bought the building and wanted to move in, to the point that they didn't take the most expeditious way to getting a new facility built and occupied.
I guess the only reason I asked the question was to offer any help I could with the city of Pleasanton.
Commissioner, you've been helpful.
I know.
I want to thank you publicly for it.
I'm just a little disappointed that it's still taking this long. So.
You've cut out the time that you could cut out, but you're not building it, and neither are we. And I'm afraid the die cast out there was the design they chose was one that required starting from scratch instead of starting with a lab and modifying it as needed.
Just real quick, just because I know there's a couple buildings being constructed. They didn't tear a building down to build a building back up, did they?
Commissioner, no, they did not, but they gutted a building. They gutted it and dug a big hole and opened up the roof and rebuilt everything from the inside of the shell. One place that we will possibly get some use some support from you is making sure that they get their certification of occupancy as quickly as possible, because that's a key potential delay. They could be 99% done and not get that certificate of occupancy, so we will. Great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Commissioner McKenzie. Commissioner Kinsey.
That's fine. Thanks. You can call me anything you want.
Great.
You know, I think that obviously the most important thing for us to see is that
the stabilized value is substantial. So from a long-term perspective, the economics of this project are in fine shape. It never feels good to have budgets go up, and it particularly doesn't feel good to have some of the things that we could have thought about be reported as having not been thought about. I mean, furniture and other items. But my bigger point to us as a commission right now is that we are very visible. We're very visible because the Bay Bridge, the heavy cost overruns on the Bay Bridge, you know, we wear some of that. We're trying to take down an old bridge in between the cost of doing business and the cormorants. You know, we're getting headlines about that price going way up, this building price now going way up. Then people are going to walk in to this building in a couple years or a year and a half, and it's going to look pretty damn spectacular. And so I'm just cautioning us that we're ending up as a kind of a prima donna agency here in the eyes of the public, and the commuting public is struggling, is suffering. I can tell you in any direction you go, people want to see change, better flow, better productivity, better access, better transit. And $32 million coming out of the savings off of a bond financing deal could have gone somewhere else. And so I'm raising this because we in here, there's some public benefits, a million here, a million there. We're acting in ways that appear to be indifferent to the economic realities and the frustrations of the traveling public. And I think we need to be more careful. It isn't about this whether this deal should go through. The deal makes sense financially. That we're at this point, we have to go forward. You know, to Commissioner Brzezinski, I just don't see how you can go back and take somebody who's got a legitimate lease and try and negotiate when there's not much room there. So it's just my observation that as an agency, we have been way too much in the news for the overruns and the extravagances, while the traveling public is really hurting. And I would like us to be paying very close attention to where, when we have extra dollars, they're making it into the infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey. Any other comments? Okay, is there any public comment on this item? I don't have any speaker cards. Well, then I'll bring that back then to the commission for further discussion.
Madam
yeah,
Chair,
Commissioner Tissey?
I'll go ahead and make a motion on resolution number 13 revised.
Second.
Okay, and that motion has been made by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Okay, we'll move on to our next item, which is item 7, purchase order for the commuter network equipment Nexus IS. Under this item, the executive director or his designee would be authorized to issue a purchase order to Nexus IS for the purchase of the Cisco Systems Network equipment, licenses, maintenance, and consulting services for the regional agency headquarters facility at 375 Beale Street in an amount not to exceed $2,600,000. So I'd now like to turn to Valerie Campbell, who will be presenting this item. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Valerie Campbell, Information Technology Manager with Baja. This item is to request authorization of a purchase order to Nexus IS for the procurement of computer network equipment for the regional agency headquarters facility at 375 Beale. The network equipment is part of the plan technology that will support shared services for the regional agencies and also technology for the building system. It provides the base framework upon which the building and regional shared technology will be built upon and must be purchased and installed before any other technology can be implemented. Staff recommends that the authority authorize the issuance of a purchase order to Nexus IS in an amount not to exceed $2,600,000 for the purchase of Cisco Systems network equipment, software, and services. Thank you. And I'm available to answer any questions.
Great. Are there any questions? Yes, Commissioner Tissier?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're on.
On that note, I don't have any questions, but I'll make a motion.
Okay. Are there any questions? I just, if, before we take a motion, I just want to follow up. I think very mindful of Commissioner Kinsey's comments about the importance of approaching our business from a frugal standpoint. And yes. I guess one of the things that came up was that we had tried to do a combined computer system, and it didn't work out. And so now we're going to be doing kind of some of the more distinct systems within the agencies. Is your sense that this is a competitively bid project? Have we gotten the best price that we could for this? And are the other agencies mindful of these costs in terms of making decisions about the kind of software and computer system that we're going to be needing?
Sure. Let me add that the process that we use for procurement, the Cisco Systems Network Equipment and Services will be procured through the Western States Contracting Alliance, which is part of the National Association of State Procurement Officials, which is called the acronym WSCA-NASPO. It's an intergovernmental, it's a hard word to say, procurement agreement and collaborative intergovernmental procurement vehicle. It's a lot of big words, but really what it means is a lot of several Western states have gotten together. They've pre-bid with a lot of technology vendors in order to assure the best price. And then also this equipment being the base network equipment, it really is very integral to what we're going to be doing for the building. We still do have shared services that we're looking forward to doing with the other regional agencies, and I'll just give you a couple examples of that. The boardroom and conference room scheduling, shared interagency directory, that's so that we can get, you know, conversations, communication quickly with the other agencies. Internet connectivity, the Wi-Fi that will be available for you all and on the agency floors will be shared, as well as video conferencing. It also includes a foundation that will support our webcasting in the multipurpose room and the new boardroom, and we'll still be sharing services like shared printers throughout the agency floors. So we still will be doing some sharing, but the things that are particular to the agencies themselves for their privacy, security, and productivity reasons, those they're going to be supporting those themselves.
Great. That's very helpful to have that background.
Sure.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Any public comment? Then with that, and we all, maybe already did it. Yes. Would you mind repeating again, please?
Yes, I'm moving to approve purchase of the internet.
Okay. That motion is made by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Vice Chair Cortese for authorizing the authority to issue a purchase order to Nexus IS for the procurement of the network equipment, licensing, maintenance, and consulting services in the amount of not to exceed $2,600,000. So, any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving on now to item 8, we have Item 8, which is a contract amendment under this item, contract amendment for on-call construction management services, Harris & Associates. Under this item, the executive director or his designee would be authorized to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with Harris & Associates to add an amount not to exceed $1,540,000 for on-call construction management services for the retrofit and renovation of 375 Beale Street. This item would also authorize $500,000 for a contingency to be used at the executive director's discretion. Both authorizations are subject to the approval by BATA of BATA Resolution Number 113 Revised. So I'd now like to turn to Stephen Wolf for presentation on this item, please.
Good morning again, Commissioner. Stephen Wolf, Project Manager for BAHA. This item funds the extension of our construction manager Harris's services through the revised completion date of the project, the 11-month extension caused by the DEA's delay. And so to fund this item requires the approval of the resolution by BATA to increase the funding plan. That's why we have laid this item out in sort of an either-or, not an either-or, but a case A, case B format. Assuming that BATA passes the resolution, then we would fund the full services through completion of the project at the end of 2015 for the amount of $1,540,000. The extra $500,000 contingency is in place in case the DEA takes a little longer to move out if they don't get out by March 1st and instead stay until the completion of their lease. Alternatively, if there is not approval of the BATA item, we have requested $250,000 as a stopgap, since Harris's funding will be fully used by the end of December of this year. And that will allow them to complete their services for an additional 2 months while we make any revisions that may be required. In terms of the scope that Harris has, they're scoped with the quality assurance, special testing, special inspection and testing, and they make sure the administration of the contract is being followed, that the contractor, McCarthy, is following the specifications and drawings in the contract. So the recommendation is that the authority authorize the executive director or his designee to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with Harrison Associates for on-call construction management consultant services for the 390 Main Street project in an amount not to exceed $1,540,000 plus a contingency to be used at the executive director's or his designee's sole discretion in the amount of $500,000 subject to the approval by BAHA Resolution Number 13 revised and the approval by BATA of BATA Resolution Number 113 revised. I misspoke. There's only one option.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, one option. Okay. Thank you very much. Are there, first of all, are there any questions? Is there any public comment on this item? All right, then, if not, may I please have a motion to approve the contract amendment with Harrison Associates and the contingency subject to the approval by BATA of BATA Resolution Number 113 revised.
So moved.
So moved by Vice Chair Cortese.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Okay, our final item is public comment or for any items that not on the agenda but are before this committee, and I have no speaker cards. So therefore, I'd like to adjourn the meeting to our next meeting, which will be Wednesday, September 17th at 2014. Again, it will be, I think the time to note is 1:30.
December.
Did I say November? December 17th. I just wanted to correct on our agenda. Yeah. Okay. Great. With that, the meeting's adjourned.